When I went to vote on Thursday, I drove around those one-way streets over here trying to figure out where to park. I did a few loops, missing the spots and going, oh, I should have parked there. But I finally found a spot right on the street across from the courthouse, and I crossed, and the sun was out. Our unseasonably warm weather confuses my family. We keep wondering, when is it going to cool off? Maybe this will be the week we can put away our shorts. And I walk past the ribbon statue, which seems to honor life itself, clicking and crunching the leaves, no longer alive. Vote here signs are plentiful on the back of the building, none visible from the front of it, none from 3rd Street, which I drive down every day. I couldn't see them when I planned the trip, so I just trusted Google would get me there. But now that certainty is assured, and as I approach the doors, another man comes from the other direction, both of us taking different doors to get to the same line inside, the line to go through the metal detector. And I think how different this is. I remember my first vote was in college. I voted absentee. The whole thing came in this small manila envelope. It was with a punch card, and they supplied the PIN. And the instructions told me to check the ballot so that each punch was clean. And now going in, there's no line for the ballots, and I'm using a touch screen. I still check twice. And on my ballot printout again, these are the ones I chose. I leave the courthouse not with complete confidence in the future, but confident in my choice, that how I voted would make our collected world better. And yet, I'm anxious. I know I'm not the only one here who is. We usually are around elections. 4 years ago, I resolved to have an election service the next time around. I didn't know it would be here, but I wanted it to be a regular thing that we do. And when I came here, I circled that date. And little did I know that others would feel the same way, that it would feel so now, so needed. I'm anxious, but I'm not afraid. I don't have the blind confidence that God will fix what we screw up. I don't think that's how it works. Nor do I believe that elections are so inconsequential that it doesn't matter what we do. I'm not afraid because Christians are called to drive away fear, to rise above it and embrace the Holy Spirit's embrace of us. So I'm anxious but not afraid. And usually, given this kind of environment, the idea of honoring all our saints and souls in a liturgy of celebration is maybe the last thing any of us would want to do this week. But if you read about them, if you read about our saints, like in Lesser Feasts and Fasts or Holy Women, Holy Men, or the new one that's coming out in the future, you will find stories of people who live in anxious times and overcome great reason to fear. You'll read about people who embody the gospel of loving God and our neighbor as ourselves, whose sacrifice is profound. And you'll read stories of incredible people like King Kamehameha and Queen Emma of Hawaii, or Samuel Isaac Joseph Krzyzewski, Richard Hooker. Stories for all people of love and devotion and response to the Missio Dei, the mission of God. You'll read stories which remind us of our families, our fathers and mothers, grandparents and cousins, or of mentors and teachers, doctors and nurses, therapists and directors who have unveiled the holy and revealed divinity with absolute grace. Stories of generous hearts and profound mercy. Mercy keeps coming up in my life. Like it does in the gospel by the writer we call Luke, cries of mercy and healing, the need for Jesus to come and save. And I keep feeling like that one who cries out to him. I keep begging for mercy, for my imperfections, for my anxiety, perhaps my confusion over what Christ is really up to in the world. And we get this story today, known as the Sermon on the Plains, with its blessings and woes, like the Beatitudes with attitude, or the Sermon from the Dark Side of the Mount. It seems to me, if I were to choose, I would choose the Beatitudes today, that there's so much of what we need right now with their subtlety in response to anxiety. They are gorgeous reflection of living in challenging times as people of faith. People who can see the suffering of our neighbors and have the conviction to stand in the breach. But this sermon, a sermon on the plains, is good for us too. It subverts our sense of blessing and curse. For Jesus names all our wealth as poverty, our fullness as lacking, our happiness as sorrow, and all our fame, all the need to be recognized and appreciated and loved by those around us as false. So that to be truly happy is to give beyond the bounds of our lives and beyond what makes us good, giving our very souls generously, confidently, and without regret. And what if we take then this passage today and we forget everything we've been taught, maybe not everything, but a lot of what we've been taught about being people of faith as good Christians for just a moment, and we pray for them. We pray for them. And we don't hear these blessings and woes like prescription or rule or judgment. That we hear these words not as Jesus telling us about the kinds of people there are or creating rules to be followed tomorrow. What if we hear something else? What if we hear Jesus breathing out a blessing upon the world? Upon us now, in this moment, for this time and place. And what if we take all that anxiety and confusion, anger, frustration, fear, ball it all up, and we receive this blessing from him, breathed upon us, not long, long ago, but now, here, this second. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. So blessed are you, you who fear and ache, you who are sick and homesick. Blessed are you who are great big orbs of stress right now, and you carry that anxiety in your bones. Blessed are you who share posts on Facebook, in your memes and in your cat videos. Blessed are you in your cheapness and your insufficient tips, or in your generous living, in your unjustified criticism of yourself or your neighbor. Blessed are you, for this is living. This is the participating in the Missio Dei and drawing the kingdom closer. We are called to help arrange our common life together. You are being blessed, forgiven, and granted mercy. You are being blessed, reminded of your promises, renewed in the waters of baptism. You are being blessed to be a blessing in the world. Leap for joy.